Hello and welcome to another special episode of The Hurry Up. We have the draft 2025. Well, I should actually give it its proper title, the NFL draft 2025, that is going to be held in Green Bay. And you know what? When it comes to big moments, I have to bring out my big guns, my friends. One in particular, the biggest gun. Jason Bell, I think I've blown you up enough. How are you?
Is it because we're desperate Giants fans and we just, you know, we mourn together, we celebrate together. You know what I mean? Is that the routine? Me, bro, you, and OC? Is this how it goes?
Bro, like, it can only get better from where we've been. You know, that's the only thing I can say is, like, you know what? Because what's the saying? Before the darkest comes the dawn, or after the darkest comes the dawn, or starting along them lines.
we need every quote they got, man. Hey, when you're searching for them positive quotes, man, you know you're desperate. You're backed up against the corner in the cage.
It is desperate times. I mean, I was just saying off air to Jason that I had my, like, kind of picks or who's going where set. And the more you watch these TV shows where everyone, or online, social, YouTube, whatever you do, like the addict that I am for news on who we potentially could draft, then, like, I've gone all over the place now. So I set up with a quarterback, and now I'm at a left tackle, and then I'm a different quarterback. And, like, honestly, like, for those, it's there's a lot of people who it's their first ever draft. Like, you know, are part of the people that actually get new fans into the sport. So this is their first draft. So please explain to these people what we are all going through, especially people in the dud teams.
Hope, you know, we're selling hope. That's what the draft is. That's what it does. That's what makes it so magnificent. I mean, when you think of the setup, right? If you're the worst team, you get the first pick. It can change everything. That's important. But yet you got to love how the NFL controls the news cycle. We're talking about these players as soon as the season's over. We're talking about the top players, where they might go, how they might fit, the personalities. Will they change things? You know, the people making the decisions. Do we have faith and trust in them? This is what is so cool about the draft and how it dominates our attention. So you're right. Coming down to this moment, the final day, we're still guessing. We still don't know. But we do understand, with the right choice, man, the excitement is real. And that's what fans like us of a team that needs to make a significant change are hoping that player does that for us.
Bro, you know what? I must say this. This is how low I've got. This is the desperation that I've got. You're going to laugh at this, right? So last night, I'm looking all around social media for any, you know, tidbits of information. Usually go to Schefter, you know, you go to Schrager and other people like that. I'm missing one. Ian Rappaport, before he comes for me.
Yeah.
Now, the person that given me the biggest insight is not even out of school at the moment.
Oh no.
Who's given me the biggest insight to what our New York Giants? I'm just so used to being on my own on this. Our New York Giants is gonna do is our GM, Joe Shane's son, who online, on Instagram, put some video up about Jackson Dart and had to delete his account or make it private. Not delete his account. Made it private straight away as soon as people started to join. So that, you know what? Because he was the person with the most common sense when it came to that, you know, Hard Knocks video, he was saying, you should draft this person, that person, that person. And all of them ended up being studs. So therefore, if he's looking at Jackson Dart, I'm thinking that maybe his dad is. Have I gone completely mad?
You know, the problem with all this is we laugh and we're joking, but we got to consider this stuff. I mean, think about it. This is private information. These are conversations he might have heard. He might like the guy, and be promoting him because his dad says something. You never know. The fact that he had to go private and or delete the post lets you know somebody said, come on, man, you got to calm down. And That's hard. That's a lot of pressure for kids. We get it. People like sharing. People like having conversations. This is what we love about the game. People are always talking about what they think and their opinion. But when you're that close to the fire, you can't put up any smoke, man. You got to chill out and lay low. And that's something this kid has got to learn. It's tough. It's hard. We're all fans. But yeah, this right here, you talking about stirring the pot. That's what this definitely did. Because Jackson Dart is a polarizing character. And what I mean by that is, they talk about his ceiling being so high, right? Yeah. And what he can do. And they're evaluating the draft picks based on that, future projections of your talent. So because of that, you got to say, well, is this what the Giants are hiding? Are they trying to move up? You know, are they trying to trade up? Maybe they're going to still pick, stick and pick, but then move up to get him. That is a serious consideration. That can happen, but you don't want to show your cards like that in the draft. Man, we understand all these moves are being made based on what the team picking before you does. So the more information you have and the less you give away is your strength, right? Keep your mouth shut.
Now, I'm going to concentrate just on the Giants because, you know, I have to listen to Ash and George. You know, Ash is currently in Green Bay, and she's living life.
She's loving it right now.
She's loving it. There's no, like, she's all cash at the moment, like, just enjoying life. You know, me and George are kind of worried, and George is going to be more worried than me because he's got, as I told him in one of our episodes, is that our problem with Daniel Jones has now become his problem, and thank the Lord for that. Thank you for all you've done, Daniel Jones, but Lord have mercy, I'm ready to move on. So I'm going to reel off some of the top prospects. Obviously, we just talked about Jackson Dart. So, Cam Ward, Miami, Travis Hunter, Colorado, Abdul Carter, Penn State, Will Campbell from Louisiana, Ashton Gentry, who's, my Lord, I wish he was in a position to get him. And he's from Boise State. And then you have Ahmad Membu. I'm going to probably butcher some of these people's names. Tyler Warren from Penn State. So Membu was from Missouri, just before people moan it that I'm not mentioning the colleges. And Jalen Walker from Georgia. Now, these are the ones that everyone's talking about more so than anyone else. And obviously add Jackson Dart in. So I'm gonna picture this, right? I need you to you know, dream with me. Now, imagine you're opposing quarterback to New York Giants. You're playing against New York Giants. You're looking over the line now, right? You're looking. Now, in front of you, you have Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, Kevon Thibodeau, and then you have Abdul Carter. Is that where we should be going?
First of all, when you win a Super Bowl, like my good friend Osi Umenyura has done twice, it's because the D-line was dominant. So when you picture that, when you look at that, you think about what the New York Giants are. We bring pressure. We disrupt your quarterback. We cause chaos. And that's exactly what that will do with that pick. You got a guy who's an edge rusher, and it's a specialty position. You don't find them. It's hard to get them. So yes, I can see that happening. And when you think about talent and you're drafting at number three and you wanted a quarterback, Cam Ward, they like him. He's gone, right? So what are you going to do? You're going to stick and pick, and you're going to get the most talented player at a premium position. That is someone who can rush the passer. Now we don't know what Cleveland's going to do.
Yeah,
Cleveland is going to set this table, because if Cleveland do something different, I'm telling you, they would take Travis Hunter in a minute also. So I think those two picks right there, Travis and Abdul Carter, make sense for them, and they will be happy with whoever they get, because they are both game changer type of players that have a specific skill set that you can envision impacting your team. And that works out for them. Now, the trick is, did they or do they want a quarterback so bad that they make a drastic decision? I don't think that's happening. You got to be in love with somebody to pull the trigger at three like that and go with that. Or you can get somebody later in the draft that you got your eyes on. Remember, you got two quarterbacks on the roster right now. And with the setup, with the lame duck head coach and GM, as an owner, how much are you giving them on how they can change and construct your roster for the future if you're not sure if they're going to be there? They got to prove it this year to keep their position in that organization. So right now it's really tough because when you talk about picking a quarterback, what does that look like and who's coaching them is the key. But I think you're right, man. The way you just painted that picture for me, hey, the quickest way to win games is to disrupt the offense, bring pressure. You got two quarterbacks on the roster right now that can make it happen. I will say something you mentioned earlier that you wish you could get was Ashton Jeanty, the running back, right? You could still get him, but you talk about some noise in New York. After you got rid of Saquon and you got to go do that, oh my gosh, you don't want that noise. You don't want that noise at all.
Let me tell you this. You will be able to hear the New York fans from London. From anywhere around the world, they'll be all right. Now, as good as Ashton Jeanty is, like I think personally, we are dabbling between two, I would say, generational. I know that, you know, that word has been thrown out a lot. Two options of generational talent that's coming our way. Cam Ward, I think we both agree, is going to be going to Tennessee. I'll be shocked if he's not.
No.
Unless we're going to offer a king's ransom for him. It ain't happening.
Teams have already been trying to give some picks to get up there and make it happen, but Tennessee, that's not happening. That's their guy.
So then we got number two. So number two, obviously, is Cleveland Browns. So Cleveland Browns, and this is the thing, that you had several different options to them, and I was set on them taking Abdul-Kai at one point, but then now I'm hearing a lot of noise for them taking Travis Hunter. So in theory, If they go for Travis Hunter, which maybe they do, then obviously Abdul Carter makes sense for us. If, let's say, in theory, they go for Abdul Carter, so we're at three now, Travis Hunter's on there, then we've got options of getting a QB, Jackson Dart, or, who I forgot to miss, Shador Sanders. What do we do? I need all options here. I need
you
not
go
to be
with
surprised.
Travis Hunter. You got you want to go with Travis Hunter. You got your corner. Who you're looking for? You're looking for another corner, and now you already got a number one receiver in Malik Nabers. That's set in stone. But you got a guy who's an explosive athlete that you can put a package together for him, and he can go out there and make some plays in New York. That market. What? That gives you hope. Remember, you're trying to put people in the stands. You're trying to make them excited. And he's an exciting player with an exciting repertoire of skills, right? Who he was in college. How does that look in the pros? So that would be perfect for you. And I think you're in a really good situation because with those two players, you can envision them having an impact on your team. Like you said before, you sold it well. Rush the passer. It's quite simple. It's difficult to do anything if you can't have time on offense, and they would be so disruptive. And it starts in the middle with Dexter Lawrence. He has to be double teamed. Somebody has to get singled. You have all those guys out there. They will destroy you. So it works. Giants are in a good situation because of that. Now, how do they handle that? And we're going to evaluate them as an organization, meaning the coaching staff and the front office on how they orchestrate this and put it together.
You know what? The problem I've got is that we definitely need a QB for the future. So as good as, Russell Wilson is obviously better than what we had before. And obviously we've got a great backup as well with, my brain's dead with our backup now. I can't remember who. Jameis Winston.
Russell and Jameis. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So that what a locker room that would be. That's the what QB room that's going to be. That's going to be prayer time beforehand. But we need a QB. So my friend, what do we do? Are we going to trade? Do you reckon we're going to trade up? If you're GM, I'm going to put you on the spot, actually. Your GM, would you trade up to get a QB? Would you get Jackson Dart or would you get Shador Sanders? Shador Sanders has been run to our QBs.
Yes.
Sorry, okay. Our wide receivers as well, bro. As well.
Yeah.
And the cleats. So he's been, talking the talk and walking the walk.
Yeah, so you got an early second round pick. If you have a quarterback you want to get, you trade up. and you make that move in the later half of the first round, for sure. No doubt. Whoever you got your eyes on. See, the situation is this. There's a lot of moving parts, right? If you are the Giants and you're the owner, like, how much faith do you have in this staff for development? Like, that's the thing, man. Like, who's going to teach this person? We've done it before. You're supposed to be Daboll. You were the quarterback whisper, man. You can make anybody play well. Do you have that faith? Like, there's a lot more going on. Like, it's just not as simple as picking a player. It's like, does he fit into a situation? And then if we have to move on next year to another staff that didn't pick this guy, man, we running the same thing over and over again, right? This is crazy. So I think the situation is this. If you, from a top-down standpoint, know that you're going to move on from your head coach and your GM, if you really lean in that direction, man, you want them to win with what they got, you know? So you don't want to go get another quarterback and put him in that situation. But if somebody falls to you, you make it happen. They built this roster now where they do not have to have a quarterback. They do not have to draft a guy early. But you can put another player on that roster. Where does he fit? You hold three quarterbacks, right? You can do that. But if you draft one, somebody's got to go. You know, my man Tommy Cutlets is a hometown favorite. They like him at the number three guy. You know, he just he's good. He's good for the stands. You know, he's good for the stadium. People show up to, you know, he's a hometown dude. That stuff that really happens. You know what I'm saying? But that all being said, I'm getting distracted by the craziness in my head. You got to look at the situation. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. It's going to, for me, in all honesty, I am going to watch the decisions made, and it's going to give me a clear picture on what they think about the future of this staff. That's what I'm looking at. Do they believe they can evaluate? You know, do they trust the ownership, trust that they can make the best decisions? I'm not sure. We're going to see. Now, in the top 5-10 picks, you just picking talent. But after that, getting creative, trying to figure out how people fit. Do they really believe in it? We'll see, man. You know, Shedeur Sanders is going to go in the first round somewhere. And if he's lingering out there, somebody's going to take a shot at him.
I'm just thinking, like, okay, so let's say we trade up and we got to choose between a quarterback to pick. Who would you go for? Would you go for Jackson Dart? Or, I mean, I'm going to narrow it down because people mentioned in other QBs as well. There's one more. But
if Shedeur is off the table, then it gets interesting.
You don't think he's going to fall that low?
You asking me who the second quarterback is going to be picked, or if you know?
So what the rumor is that basically that Shedeur Sanders is going to fall all the way possibly to the second round. So
no, but then also he ain't fall to the second round.
But you know this talk, and it's just like after that agent, after that, what's it called?
That ain't happening, man. The quarterbacks don't fall. It's not. Think about all the starting quarterbacks in the league now. Most of them are first rounders. You know, early second rounders. Dak Prescott is the only one you're looking at. What was he, a fourth rounder or something like that? Like your quarterbacks, even if they move teams, they're first rounders. You know, Brock Purdy. You know, you got two or three that aren't first rounders, you know, say five. Where are you going to get them? You don't wait. You take a shot. You take a chance. But you start to look at the other ones with high ceilings and you go, all right, I can take a chance in the early second, later half of the first round, see if it works out. When you're talking top five, top 10, then it's a lot of pressure. That being said, I mean, you got guys, it's all about how you evaluate them and how they fit on your team. I mean, Jalen Monroe, right? Out of Alabama. My goodness, he is talented.
This is the one that everyone brought up, and they said start to bring him into. And it's messing with my mind because it's like where I set that is like, obviously, Shedeur Jackson. And now we brought this guy up, and it's just like, okay. You know, so he could fall.
Yeah, he could ball. And you look at Jackson Dart. I'm sorry to bounce around, but his offense was unique, right? So you're like, well, how does he fit into a pro system? You got to evaluate that. You got to think about that. Remember Will Levis last year, you know, he, they looked at him and his, it was an upside thing, man, powerful arm, this and that, you know, moves around. It's tough, man. It is tough. The thing with Shador is he took so many sacks and you're like, well, that doesn't translate well in the NFL. Like you don't get better at not getting sacked. So it's all these things. Everybody's got something. The problem is nobody, you got your top guy. Obviously when you look at Cam Ward after that, you're just, everybody's got a flaw, but that's okay. That's okay. It's who, where do you fit? How do they fit? Can they be coached up? And I think everybody, what's making this draft so fun, like, let's just be honest, is where is Shador Sanders going to go? That is interesting. That is so fun to watch. Everything that comes with that is going to be exactly what the NFL is. The best reality television show out there. Because you're going to see all that comes with him. And how does this work in the NFL? Who embraces it? Who's fearful of it? We get to see it all play out, man. And he's got to go out there and ball out. All that being said, you got to go out there and make it happen and be about your business. So this is fun to watch, man. This is exciting for the Giants. I think we're going to go get the best player. But after that, man, the draft starts when Shador Sanders gets picked up. I'm telling you that right now.
What I've realized, Jason, is that we know everything and we also know nothing.
So- yeah, man, that's the beauty of this. As someone who loves the game, right? I love breaking it down week in, week out. The one thing that's so difficult for me about the draft is I spend so much time in the past and future in the past, like looking at all these players, trying to figure it all out. And nothing matters until the picks happen. You know, like then you start to say, all right, how does this make my team better?
Yeah.
You know, and then throughout the season, you see what those picks have as far as an impact on your organization. Does one of those guys make a play? Does it provide depth? How does it change your roster? And now we start to evaluate the decision makers because of that. So yes, having these conversations is great. It's fun, whatever. But how, all this stuff being said, those later rounds, bro, Dre, those later rounds change your team.
They're the most important.
Yes, man, with the salary caps, it's all about those guys. That's how you build your roster.
A guy
like me doesn't fit in the NFL now because I was a little too expensive, but not high end. They would get a young guy to do what I do.
So now,
how do you improve your team based on all those picks and all that depth and who's coaching them up? We get to see all that, and that's going to be really cool. You look at what the Rams did last year and all those young guys playing that way on defense. That's why they were a playoff team.
Period.
And they didn't have top picks, so they had to pick in the later round. So, hey, let's see what happens. Obviously, there's polarizing players, there's talented players. Let's see where they go. And that's all good. The first round is very important, especially at certain key positions. Let's see what happens, where people fit in. And let's see who's been holding back on what they truly believe, which is interesting. What they really want to do, and all the smoke screens out there, because somebody's going to make a move and you're going to be like, that's what they wanted to do the whole time. And we'll all be in shock. That part of the draft is so fun and so cool. So I contradict myself. We should definitely pay attention to all the noise. So when we watch the draft, we know where we've been fooled, where we've been bamboozled, you know, because that's what it's all about, man. Who's the slickest at the table?
Follow Joe Shane's son's picks because he is really our GM. Like, he's our GM as far as I'm concerned. Like, he's the one who makes sense. In him, I trust.
The future is bright. The future is bright in that household.
This kid can pick a great fantasy team and a real team at the same time because everyone he's reeling off in that documentary, in Hard Knocks, and turned out to be a baller. And then what do we get?
Hey, you know what's crazy is we laugh and we joke, but the information's out there. It's so readily available. So however a kid or anybody is engaging in this material, they could get an opinion based on a lot of fact, you know? Yeah. And if they have an eye for certain situations and how things fit and how they see the future, it works out. I mean, back in the day, kids used to, like when I was growing up, you know, you had your baseball cards, your player cards. Yeah. Like you would look at that and you'd break everything down. You'd have all the stats. And, you know, some people could rattle that stuff off like, how do you know all this information? And they would because they were looking at them cards. Now you have all this stuff out there. How much you're willing to invest in it, you can get a really good opinion based on a lot of information that's public. So that being said, might be a GM of the future, man. We might have something cooking. So keep him in the organization. Keep him close.
Let's hire him. Let's hire him. That's what we're gonna
do. Hey, man. They trying to get the kids. They trying to get more kid viewership. So yeah, let's start there. Let's get a kid GM. Look, follow this kid, man. If anybody can make it happen. You could be next.
I believe in him, man. I'm telling you now. Like, I'm looking at Jackson Dart. If let me tell you something now. If we draft Jackson Dart, then everything that boy posts from now on, I'm going to take notice of it.
Yo, if that happens, man, I just want to hear his dad's explanation, like the panic he had when that happened. Like, what are we doing? You know? Oh my gosh. But yeah, hopefully it's just his opinion. And his dad was like, you know, you got too many people watching you, man. Not now. Like, not now. Don't do it.
Son. Right. So draft night, what are we eating? That's the one thing I want to last question. What is the meal? Obviously, we normally do Super Bowl meals and all that stuff. We never get to eat it because luckily we're there. Yeah. But you know, poor us. But what are we eating tonight? Like, what's the meal of choice?
Yo, I'm going in like an athlete. What are we talking about, man? I'm on my protein shake. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing everything healthy. I gotta have this mind working. Plus, I was in Thailand for 20 days and I'm completely overweight right now. So I have to chill out. No more, man. I can't relax. It's game time, man. I need this brain to work, man. I'm treating this like a business. So for me, it's all about being healthy, man. The healthy snacks, man. I'm trying to do everything I can to keep the brain working. But if I was just relaxing and I'm watching it as a fan, it's all comfort food. Comfort food, man. My wings, my pizza, my burgers. Why? Because if it doesn't happen, meaning I don't have the pick I want, I need something next to me that's going to make me feel good about myself. And some tasty food that's bad for you always does the trick. So you need that. You need to lean in on that. And if you're if you like a glass of wine like myself, have a nice bottle ready to go because you might be celebrating.
Yeah,
or you might just have to have a drink and just take a deep breath, whatever you got to do, but have it ready, right? I got two ways of going about this. As a fan,
I like that.
You know, you see which direction I'm going. But as an analyst, I'm trying to keep the brain tight. But yeah, glass of wine, comfort food, and hopefully it's for a celebration on a pick that you agree with.
Well, I am fully in fan mode, so I will be in some nachos and then probably fall asleep by the 22nd pick.
yeah, you out then. You like, I know where this is going.
Snoring in that boy there, I tell you that.
Yeah. Game over. I know what you mean. I wake up in the morning like, did I just see all that? Like oh my gosh.
Pick? Like you wake up like 3 o'clock in the morning like desperation. Like, oh, who what did happened? I pick?
Yeah. Oh man, but I will say this in all honesty, man, this is so cool for the players, life changing.
Yeah,
you know, work their whole life, the dream, it happens, family, everybody's excited. No matter where they go, it's just an opportunity to see a dream come true. And watching those kids and the emotion they have, not young adults, but watching the emotion they have, their family has, Dre, you understand the sacrifice that went into all that. It's coming to that moment, and that is so cool to see, man. That's another thing about it. As a fan, we love it. We try to improve our team, but just watching dreams come true, man.
True.
Every year, we get to watch dreams come true. And you know what? That's what life's about.
And you know what? Like, I never used to understand players who didn't want to attend the draft, because it's like such a moment that you get to go on the stage and you see the fans and get the cap and all those things, but then obviously all your family can't be there, So you would want to celebrate with them too. And you know what I must say? You look like a little bit more of a G if you're at home.
it's your party. It's your party. You know, it's tough, man. It's a lot of pressure. All the people around waiting for you, looking at you, hoping the best for you. So I feel for them, man. The relief, you know, the relief. You can just see it on their face, right? I think a lot of time that's what the emotion comes from. It's just like, oh man, you know, that part of the process is over. Now let me get myself together, go out there and do what I do on the field. But to get to that point, know where you're going. Everybody's relaxed now to some extent, right? The pressure's off of, are you going to get picked? Where are you going to get picked? You go about your business.
Jason, so the music has come on. The famous music, if I can find it, we're going to put it on right now. So the music has come on. We're on a clock. You are making the decision for the New York Giants. So you're going to get the raff or the cheers. Who are you picking at number three?
I'm going to say it again. It's all about what Cleveland does before.
Yep.
I'm taking, if Cleveland has taken Travis Hunter, I'm taking Abdul Carter. But if they have not, I'm taking Travis Hunter. Those are my two.
Way.
I'll be happy with both of them. Take them either way. And once again, I have to react on what the people ahead of me have picked.
All right. You know what? I do like you as a GM. You know, I like Joe Shane's, you know, son a little bit more as a GM. But, you know, I think
most people do like him more.
Jason, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate your time. And you know what, guys? What you can watch the NFL Draft 2025 on Sky, and you can watch it on DAZN.
It's your pick. We share.
We're sharing. Yeah, we're all family here. We're all football family.
That's it, bro. That's it. Especially what we doing, man. We are football family for sure.
My bro, thank you very much, man. All right, catch you guys after the draft, so we can see if we are crying or if we are optimistic.
First round draft. That's my first round draft.
That's
right,
my
there,
bro.
Number 72. Yeah,
I wish he could go back. I wish he could go back in.
Yeah. What'd you say, OC? Oh, put you down? Okay. He don't want to. He's done. He's done. Thanks, he's bro. Done with this conversation.